You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Now, I'll tell you, I had a mixed weekend of emotions watching the Mets in Pittsburgh. You had the elation of the early parts of the game on Saturday to a disaster finish. Then you had basically the complete opposite on Sunday. So I'm going to go through those two games and my experience in Pittsburgh throughout the first two segments of today's show. Then in the final segment, I'll talk about the latest injury news as Francisco Lindor and Jacob deGrom both landed on the IL this weekend. So definitely not some good news in that department. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. You can also follow the show at Locked On Mets. So I flew into Pittsburgh on Friday night, which means I basically missed almost all of that game, and it was a forgettable one. The Mets didn't get blown out, but they didn't win. Marcus Stroman pitched good, not great, only made it through five, only gave up two runs. The Mets offense was anemic that game. They had eight free passes with walks, but were unable to capitalize on that. And again, I didn't watch that game, so it didn't affect me the same way. Saturday, I was in Pittsburgh. It was time to watch the Mets live for the first time since pre-pandemic. And I was seeing a beautiful ballpark for the first time in PNC Park. So I was excited. We woke up Saturday. It's me, my dad, and my brother-in-law. We did this beautiful run, the Three Rivers Heritage Trail. You know, you see the city, the river, the whole deal. It was really a nice day. We had lunch in this hole-in-the-wall pizza place. It was just a good day all around. You get to around game time, me and my brother-in-law, a little bit of pre-gaming, some adult beverages. You know, walked in feeling pretty good. Mets start that game, and it was just the perfect night. They're putting up runs. Tyler McGill, best start of his young career. Six innings, did not allow a single run. J.D. Davis returns off the IL, hits a pair of two-run homers in the fourth and the sixth inning. I mean, it was just so easy. It was what it's supposed to look like when you play one of the worst teams in baseball. But unfortunately, as we've learned over the past week and change here, the Mets have not been able to capitalize playing against a team as bad as the Pirates. And so things eventually started to go downhill. You have Seth Lugo come into the game in the eighth inning. Trevor May pitched the seventh, was good. Seth Lugo comes in. You're thinking, why is Lugo coming in a game where the Mets are winning by six runs? But personally, I wasn't thinking too seriously at that point because, again, the adult beverages have been flowing for hours at this point. So I'm just kind of enjoying myself. Oh, Lugo's pitching. That's pretty cool. This game's going to cruise. We're going to go home with a nice dub. And then everything started to fall apart. Lugo ends up giving up five runs in that inning, which was capped off by a three-run homer from Wilmer Defoe. And Aaron Loop had to get the final out of that inning, and now it's 6-5. So through my, you know, let's just say maybe liquor-soaked mind, I had a moment of clarity. I looked at my dad and I said, we've seen this before. We know how this story ends. One or two things happen. Either one, the Mets are going to win this game, and we're just going to be relieved. It's not even going to feel good at this point because it's going to be a 6-5 win. You're just going to be happy that they didn't blow it entirely. Or it's going to be disaster, and you're going to be in enemy territory watching a bunch of fifth-place fans just cheer in your face as Edwin Diaz blows another game. We knew that was going to happen. Now, Brandon Nimmo hits a home run. Does not dissuade me from this plan. I said, look, let's beat the traffic. We're going to pop Howie on. Either this is going to be a win or we're going to be really pissed off, but at least we can be pissed off not sitting in traffic for an hour. So that's what we did. And if you want to call me a fake fan, by all means, do it. I enjoy living life the right way. And sometimes you do the unpopular thing and you leave a game in the eighth inning because you don't have faith in your team. And you know what? I was right. because Edwin Diaz ends up giving up a walk-off grand slam. And yeah, it was rough, but it was better that I actually did not see that in person, because who knows what that would have felt like. It still sucked to listen to it, but hey, we were going to put that behind us. As I said, we still had a blast that game. All right, let's shake it off. At least win one in Pittsburgh, right? First inning, Sunday. The Mets had the bases loaded with only one out. Don't score a run. So now you're already starting to have that same Mets anxiety. Here we go again. What's going to happen? And it only gets made worse when your all-star, Taijuan Walker, just had a disaster of a first inning. I mean, he got the first batter out, Adam Frazier, who actually started that game 0 for 4. You think when that happens, you're doing pretty good, but it didn't feel like that because the Pirates put up 6 runs against Taijuan Walker, and it's highlighted by one of the worst plays I've ever seen, where a ball is dribbled down the third baseline, and Taijuan Walker literally throws it away. Now, he was trying to, you know, once that ball goes foul, if you push it foul and push it clear, you're good. It's a foul ball. You move on with the at-bat. This one was right on the line. Walker goes to flip it. He's immediately arguing with the umpire, and no one's like realizing, you know, maybe pick up the live ball. That might be something you might want to do, as Pirates are just running around the merry-go-round scoring runs. And so you see J.D. Davis is watching. You see Walker's arguing with the umpire. Nito is just chilling there. And, okay, the Pirates are winning 6-0 in the first inning. And at that point, after what happened the night before, after having this amazing day ruined by a collapse by Seth Lugo and then the typical Edwin Diaz blow-up after not pitching for a week, you go right into the next game where the Mets are now losing 6-0. But things looked up from there. And I'll tell you, when this happened, my brother-in-law, who's a new convert to being a Mets fan, he was a Cubs fan. I say was because he listens to this podcast every day, and I feel like I have him converted now. He did not have that same level of pessimism that Mets fans grow over the years. So he looked at me and said, hey, go to BetOnline right now. Tell me what the odds are, live betting, to see if the Mets win this game. Because it's only the first inning. It's not over. He still has hope. I said, that sounds like we're going to waste a lot of money, but I'll check it out. It was plus 800. So I said, hey, $10 me, $10 you, throw 20 on it. Or actually, he said that because I didn't have any faith. I said, hey, we're going to throw this money down the drain. He said, come on, let's do it. I said, all right. So we put 20 bucks on it. We went home winning 160. So that is what can happen when you go to BetOnline. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football is coming up around the corner. You still have the NBA Finals going on. Unless that game ended, I don't even know. It's 12 o'clock. I just got into the hotel in Cincinnati, and I have not been paying attention to what's going on with the NBA. But hey, Finals are still going on. You got that. NFL around the corner, Major League Baseball. BetOnline has you covered for everything you could want with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you could imagine. You can just head to the website or use your mobile device and sign up today, and you'll receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code Locked On. Again, that's promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. So back to this game. After this whole blow up and the first thing with Taijuan Walker, Luis Rojas gets ejected because he is just fed up. And you could say he was mad at the umpire, and he was. He wanted them to talk about it, review it. But that to me was the typical manager gets ejected because his team is playing like crap. And you look at these guys and you say, look, I can show some fire. As the manager, this is all I can do. The furthest length of my aggression can be at an umpire where I'm going to get kicked out. And I'll be honest, I thought Rojas was going to get suspended because I think he was this close to swinging at that umpire. And I don't know if that was just show to get the players involved or he was really that pissed off. But I'll tell you, he does that and it lit a fire under his team. And for one, the bullpen was sensational in this game. Drew Smith comes in to bail out Taijuan Walker, gives the Mets 2 2/3, allows just one hit, no runs. Miguel Castro pitches a 1-2-3-4. Aaron Loop comes in and was awesome. Retired the side in order in the fifth, then in the sixth. Gives up a couple of hits. Then he hits former Met Phillip Evans to load the bases and proceeds to strike out the next three batters to escape the jam. When he got into that mess, I tweeted out, you know, the Mets have hit into their fair share or hit out of their fair share of rallies like this. Let's see if they can pitch their way out of one. And Loop did that. And Loop has been amazing this season. A 1.48 ERA, 37 strikeouts, and 30 and a third innings pitched. His whip is at 1.02. He's only allowed one run in his last 18 appearances. So you have Loop do that. Jeurys Familia gives the Mets two scoreless innings. Trevor May picks up the save in this game. But let's get to the offense. Because while the bullpen was amazing, 8 2/3 scoreless, only one walk issued after Taijuan Walker walked four of the first nine batters he faced, there was still that thought that, look, as great as the bullpen's pitching, it's all for naught. It's going to be a wasted effort. They're going to waste all their bullets in a game they can't win, and this Mets team is not going to score enough runs. Well, that's not what happened. And I will say, actually, a little side note, through the first four innings, my dad and I were just admiring the backdrop of PNC Park and the skyline of Pittsburgh because we never thought we were going to come back. It was just nothing against Pittsburgh. It was the Mets experience in Pittsburgh. So we were just kind of pointing stuff out. It was better to look above the field than what was happening on the field. But then things started to pick up and change. The Mets scored a run as Dominic Smith had an RBI single in the third. And then what really got them into the game is the mythical creature that is Travis Blankenhorn. This guy shows up every once in a while. He's one of these replace Mets that comes in and makes something happen. The guy has legit pop. We've seen it in this series. He almost had a home run the day before. Hits a pinch hit three-run homer. And now you're in the game. Now that bet that me and my brother-in-law made, it's looking a little bit better when it's 6-4 than when it's 6-0. Dominic Smith continued to be at the center of all this action for the Mets offensively. He ends up driving in another run in the sixth, although he's not credited with an RBI. He had a double, but the run scored on an error by the Pirates where they let a ball trickle away, and Jeff McNeil heads up base running with two outs, is aggressive, takes the plate, was able to score, beat the throw. Now the Mets are only down by a run. Dominic Smith once again in the middle of everything in the ninth inning. He's the leadoff man, gets a base hit to put a runner on for Michael Conforto. And Michael Conforto hits a two-run homer to put the Mets up. And I got to say, in that moment, the amount of exuberance in that ballpark from these tortured Mets fans, just this collective sigh of relief, I cannot believe they found a way. And then there's that immediate switch of who's pitching the ninth inning and are they going to make it out of this alive? My brother-in-law, he's not really indoctrinated into all this, so he just thinks, okay, game, they got this. Now they got a lead. This thing's over. You still have three outs to get, but Michael Conforto, it was great to see him come through in that big spot, hit that home run. It was great to stick it to some of those Pirates fans who were driving us nuts all game. I hate this let's go. This is kind of a tangent, but let's go Bucks. That's what they say at these games. Not let's go Pirates. They call themselves the Bucks, which to me would be fine, except it sounds a lot like let's go Mets. So it was kind of funny when Mets fans would say let's go Mets and then a Pirates fan would try to drown it out with let's go Bucks and it just sounded like they were joining in. But that's a complete random side note. There was no let's go Bucks after that home run. Ninth inning, Trevor May gets the save and you're just thrilled that the entire weekend wasn't for naught. At least I was. But at the same time, as much as you want to celebrate this victory and wash away everything that happened before that, you can't excuse what the Mets just did against the Pirates overall. And they know they should have done better. You had seven games against one of the worst teams in the National League. You only won three of them? Meanwhile, the Phillies have won seven of their last 10 and are now within two games of a division lead. They're right there now. And you can't just say, hey, look, the Mets won a game, so let's just not talk about the fact that they blew a game where they had a six-run lead the night before and how bad that one felt and that one looked. And the fact that they fell behind 6-0 in the first inning to the Pirates and had to win in such miraculous fashion. It's great that they're resilient. And it shows that this team's a lot different than other teams of the past that would have folded. So hats off to the Mets for finding a way to win that game. And you hope it carries over. but they have not been playing their best brand of baseball for some time now. You look at their season, and they've had their moments, but for about a month, if not even longer, really since June, it's been a 500 team. They had that great May, and they've basically been living off that for a while now. You're in the second half. One of these teams in this division outside of the Mets is going to figure it out. Maybe it's the Phillies. Doesn't look like it's going to be the Braves. They keep on collapsing, but maybe it is. They still have talent. Maybe it's Washington. One of those teams is going to go on a little bit of a run and make this a race. And you can't just be resting on your laurels thinking it's all locked up because you had the best team on paper. It doesn't work like that. You got to win some games. And it was great, again, to win that one. But they should have won that series. They shouldn't have lost the first two games and had to be fighting for their lives just to avoid the embarrassment of getting swept. But that's what happened. So I don't think that this team has completely made up for everything that happened. But when it comes to the fan experience of someone that spent the money and traveled out and went to these games, it went a long way, trust me. The drive from Pittsburgh to Cincinnati was a lot better because of what the Mets were able to pull off in that game. Otherwise, it would have been miserable. But now you look ahead and the Reds aren't the Pirates. That's a better team. So you're going to have to bring a much better brand of baseball if you want to walk out of Cincinnati with a series victory. And obviously that's the Mets' intentions. I'm going to talk about that and the injuries the Mets suffered over the weekend as both Lindor and Jacob deGrom ended up on the IL. Your best two players, that's devastating for any team. How long are they going to be out and what do the Mets do in the meantime? I'll get to all of that in just a minute. But first, I want to tell you about the best tasting protein bar ever, which is Built Bar. If you're on the road for a long time, what's a great way to have a healthy snack that's going to keep your stomach full, but you're not going to regret it later? You try a Built Bar. Cookies and cream is my favorite flavor, but they have so many different flavors to choose from. These are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. Built Bars come low in calories, low in sugar, but they are high in protein and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So Francisco Lindor, in game one of this series against the Pirates, he strains his oblique, has a swing, doesn't even run out to play, holds his side. You know exactly what that is if you've been watching baseball for a long period of time. It's an oblique injury that's confirmed after they do the testing. It's graded as a grade 2 oblique strain. Right now, it's not day to day. It's week to week. They're going to have to see this thing out, see how quickly he bounces back. Lindor said, quote, "I would love to say I'm day-to-day, but I'm not. This is more like week-to-week at the beginning, and we'll see how I bounce back." At one point, he referenced, "We'll just see what's in God's plan." This is going to be a pretty significant injury. I'm not saying he's done for the year, but what I will say is Louis Guillorme had an oblique injury, and he missed 6 weeks. So if this is a six-week injury for Lindor, he's not going to be back for at least a month, if not longer. You're looking at September almost at this point. That means Francisco Lindor, for that big stretch run of the season where you're really trying to put some distance between the other teams in the NL East, he's not there for it. And you could say Lindor hasn't been great this year, and I saw that narrative on social media. Who cares? Guillorme could play great defense at shortstop. You haven't lost anything. That's not how this works. This isn't – people need to look past that start of the season. I know you say you're grading the full – first half of the year and he was bad. You can't just wash away what happened in the first month. And I get that. If we're going to talk about what Lindor has done this year, you have to factor in the whole entire picture. But since May 6th, he's hitting .256 with a .346 on base percentage and a .446 slugging percentage. What happened around May 6th? The Mets started to turn their season around and really started to be a first place team. And Lindor's been a huge part of that. His leadership, his defense at shortstop, he has been one of the anchors of this team. He might not be an all-star this year, but he's been one of the Mets' best players. And based on WAR, he's been their best position player. And if you go through some of the other stats, second on the team in home runs with 11, which isn't great. But when your team is not producing offensively, you don't want to take out one of the components that's been producing something. He's third on the team in RBIs, third in hits, 36 RBIs, 71 hits. He's first in runs scored with 49, and also with walks drawn at 41. He's been their most valuable position player. That's just the way it has been this season. The defense with 12 outs above average is fourth best in baseball, and he has been a steady presence in that lineup every day. So losing him is a huge deal. And anyone who says it's not is looking too much at his batting average. And that's not what we're doing anymore. It shouldn't just be, oh, his batting average is bad, so he's bad. So now the Mets are going to have to figure out what to do at shortstop until Lindor comes back or until they make a trade. And I don't know if they're going to be in the market for the Trevor Stories, the Javi Baez's. I don't know if they're going to shop in that department when, you know, it's going to cost a ton to get one of those guys. So in the meantime, it's probably Luis Guillorme and Jonathan Villar getting a lot of the playing time. Personally, I think it should just be Guillorme because he gives you something close to Lindor when it comes to the defense. He's going to get on base a ton, so he can at least kind of give you somewhat of a facsimile of what Lindor's been doing this year. Villar has the power. The lineup is going to look better to fans with Villar and JD Davis both in it, but that's going to be bad defensively over time. Villar at this point, he can play shortstop, but he's much better suited to be at third or at second. JD Davis is much better suited to be a DH and not be on the field at all. He was one of the people just watching on that play, I will say, with Taijuan Walker today. But regardless, the Mets can get by if the offense is putting up 7 runs a game like they have over the last 2 nights. Maybe, but you need a little bit more than that if you're going to win. You need to have a complete team. And to suddenly say, let's just go all in on offense when you've been winning all season with pitching and defense, it seems to be ignoring what your identity has been. So I would go with Guillorme, but the Mets do have options, and I'm sure a lot of them will get playing time. You can also go Jose Peraza. It's a good thing that Peraza is still on this team. There was a big decision that was made when Davis came back on Friday. It was Billy McKinney that was DFA'd, and Jose Peraza had earned his spot in this roster. He's going to be here likely for the rest of the season now. He can play shortstop as well. He'll be a good defensive shortstop, and he'll bring a little bit of pop from the right side. So I'd even consider going Peraza and Guillorme as your platoon and then still factoring in Villar and Davis over at third base. That might be the way I would do it. The Mets could make a trade, but I don't know if that's something that will materialize. There's going to be a lot of decisions to make, and Jacob DeGrom's injury only makes these things more confusing for the front office. How do they plan for an injury or a set of injuries with DeGrom that doesn't have any rhyme or reason? Once again, he is on the injured list because he had forearm soreness. Now, this is retroactive to July 15th. So what that basically means is DeGrom's on the IL because they're not sure what's going on here. They want to be cautious again. They want to make sure that he's not throwing with any soreness. You don't want to see any other injury happen to Jacob DeGrom that's significant because that can crater your season. So right now, he's going to go on the IL. They're going to try to cobble their pitching staff once again using Syracuse, using waivers, scotch tape and glue, figure something out. And then they're going to revisit DeGrom once he is feeling no pain. And then he can quickly be inserted back into the rotation because that IL stint is retroactive to July 15th. So let's just say he's fully clear. He throws aside tomorrow, and then they get him up to a full bullpen. He's good to go. Maybe he's starting in that series against Toronto. But we just don't know at this point what that injury is going to be. And that once again makes you wonder what the Mets do at the deadline because they need to add to their pitching depth. But also after watching Edwin Diaz blow that game, I can't help but think that they need to get another option to close games. I'm not saying Diaz is bad. I'm not saying Diaz shouldn't be their closer. What I'm saying is, wouldn't it be nice to have yet another guy you can call on outside of just Diaz, Trevor May, and Jeurys Familia? Get another option. So whether that's Craig Kimbrell or anyone else on the market, these are the decisions that are being made. These are the conversations that are being had in the front office. And they're going to have to decide what is best, not only for this season, but for the future, because you don't want to mortgage your future for a season where you don't have a real hope to compete against the Padres, the Dodgers, the Giants, some of those other juggernauts in the National League. As much as fans will tell you, look, this is a clear path to winning a division and maybe winning a World Series, the front office has to pull some of those emotions back and decide how much they're willing to go all in here. And if they do go all in, which pieces are the perfect ones to go all in with to give you the best chance to not only win the division, but make a deep run in the playoffs. So these are all the things that are being discussed right now, and a lot of stuff we're going to be talking about here with Locked On Mets. To get you ready, though, for this series, not going to give you the full preview against the Reds, but you got Jared Eichhoff starting on Monday, and I got to say, when I planned out this trip months ago with my dad, we said, hopefully everything lines up and we get to see Eichhoff. That's all that matters. We just want to see Jared Eichhoff throw the ball and give up those, hopefully, 115-mile-per-hour exit-velocity line drives right at your fielders. That's what you're looking for. High exit-velo line drives right at your defenders, and maybe you get them through four or five innings and turn it over to an extraordinarily taxed bullpen that just had to basically pitch an entire game that they weren't expecting to, as the all-star starter Taijuan Walker was on the mound on Sunday. So this pitching staff is in trouble, because then on Tuesday, still no clear starter. Carlos Carrasco maybe can come back, but if he does, it's only pitching three or four innings. And if that's the case, and your bullpen just pitched 8 2/3 on Sunday, who knows how long Eichhoff can last? Is he even going to get through three innings? Hasn't the last couple times he's gone out, hasn't looked good. So that puts you in a really bad spot. You're just going to call on another bad option, likely from Syracuse, to make that start, or at least to piggyback it with Carrasco. It's hard to see the Mets win this series in Cincinnati based on those first two games, but at least in the final game of the series, you should get Marcus Stroman. So if you can get to a rubber match with Stroman on the mound, maybe the Mets can win this series. It's going to be difficult, though. The Reds are a good team. It's a good lineup. It's not going to be really easy. And if you just struggled at times against the Pirates, what's it going to look like when you got to face, you know, Nick Castellanos, who I think, you know, obviously the Pirates had two All-Stars themselves, but in that ballpark in Cincinnati with that level of pop, with guys throwing sometimes BP fastballs like Eichhoff, you know, the Mets might have to win some slugfest. And look, they're capable of it, but we'll see if they can put it all together, find a way to win this series, and then get yourself back to Citi Field, where maybe some better things can happen, not only with the healthier team, but just being back home where the Mets have played so great this season. We'll see what happens. I will be at the game on Monday, and then my trip will end. So if anyone's blaming me for what's going on the field, only one more game of this roller coaster, and then I will be heading back and will not be in person for these Mets games, which have been a trip so far. So anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. Follow the show, at Locked On Mets. And if you want to go to Bet Online like I did today and get that big victory on a Mets game, you should also be listening to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, where you can get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day every single day. So follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.